Blog Talk Radio.
But he says, I see what's down on the inside of you, and I just want to create space for you to become that. My husband created so much space for me that it made me wonder what was down on the inside of me. And it was because of that environment that God continued to reveal to me what you obviously see in me. So I love you. I thank you for that. My text is Revelation 12, verse 13, and it says, now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to serve these women. God, I've been praying, I've been worshiping, and I know that there's something so important you want to say to them. So, Father, I ask that you would clear the atmosphere of distractions. You would allow this message to be an intimate time with these women in you, that each woman would leave this place feeling like she was talking to me. God sent a word through her to me. And Father, may this be the kind of word that doesn't just get us high, but that radically changes our life, that we are transformed by what takes place in this room. So Father, I give you full reign to use any and every part of me, that your glory may be manifested in this place to the extent that strongholds come down, that chains are broken, that depression has to leave, that suicidal thoughts cannot stay, that confidence is resurrected, that businesses and books and movies and songs are all birthed out of this meeting with you. We turn it over to you and we say, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, now you guys can get seated. I love you too, child. Listen. Now that Eve and I are friends, I often think to myself, if I could go back in the garden and say anything to Eve, what would it be? And when I think this through, now that I've decided that I'm not going to be petty, think to myself, I would tell Eve that your greatest opponent, your greatest defense in this moment of you in the garden, your greatest defense is going to be regeneration. Regeneration. We see this with animals all the time. They have the ability to regenerate. That means if they maybe lose their tail, they're able to grow it back. But us physically, we don't have that ability to regenerate, except for spiritually. Spiritually, we have an opportunity to regenerate. We don't always think about it, but the reality is that when someone breaks your spirit, it doesn't just have to stay broken. That we have an opportunity through our relationship with God, through worship, to allow our spirit to regenerate. That's ultimately what God is saying in Genesis 3 and 15 when he's giving this curse to the serpent. He's saying if Eve regenerates from this moment and she produces seed, then that seed has the power to bruise your head, to literally give you a crushing blow. So all the woman has to do is regenerate. That's exactly what I would have told myself when I got pregnant at 13. I would have said, this is going to be tough. It's going to be hard. You may not be able to go back to the way things were, but you still have power to regenerate from this moment. You don't have to stay in the same shape that your pain leaves you in. That's literally why we have access to the ultimate creator, because anything that life tries to strip from us, he says, well, I can produce that again. And this time when I produce it, it's going to be better than it was before. That's why when we talk about anything that the enemy throws our way, God using it for his glory, it's ultimately saying that all things are going to work together for my good, that it may look like a setback right now, but when God gets finished with it, I'm going to be stronger than I was before. I'm going to be wiser than I was before. I'm going to recognize my anointing and authority in a way that I would have never done it. But all of this depends on regeneration. I'll tell you, Eve became my favorite woman in the Bible, not just because I could relate to her, but because of what she did with that word. Because God promised her that her breakthrough was connected to her seed. Her seed. What is seed? Seed is that thing that God placed down on the inside of you that the enemy tries to tell you doesn't have value. Your seed is that song. It's not just a book. It's seed. It's not just a family. It's seed. It's not just a degree. It's seed. Do you know what our friend broke off of her family by going to get her degree when everyone else said that she wasn't going to become anything? She said, but I got seed. It doesn't matter what you say when we got seed. It doesn't matter what you see when you got seed. God told me that the promise was connected to my seed. And so what is our most important role as women? It's not to see who can be flyer than the other person or who can be more snatched than the other person, but what are you going to do with the seed that God has given you? What are you going to do with that vision that God has given you? I got to protect my seed by any means necessary. I'm here on Friday night. It's Brandy Week, and we could be anywhere. We in L.A., baby, but I got seed that I'm trying to protect. I got seeds that I'm trying to put into the ground, and seeds knew what to do with seeds. Because God gave her that word, and she starts producing because God gave her a word. That's somebody's word right there. That all you got to do is start producing based on the word. Don't worry about what it's going to look like. Don't worry about who's going to support it. Don't worry about how it's going to change your circle. If God said produce it, God said take action on that word. I'm not going to give you another step until you take action on that word. God gave you a seed. You're looking for a tree. God said, I didn't give you a tree. I gave you seed. You're looking for an orchard. God said, I didn't give you an orchard. I gave you seed. You're looking for $1 billion. God said, I didn't give you $1 billion. I gave you $100 worth. That seed. You got seed. You got seed. You got seed. And God's looking to see what you do with your seed. Eve starts producing based off of God saying, the promise is committed to your seed. She gives birth to Cain and Abel, and dang, God, my seed doesn't look like what you said. What do we do when our seed doesn't look like what God said? Can you stand the test of your seed not looking like what God said and choosing to produce anyway? Yeah, yeah. Because God said the promise was connected to my seed. So if it wasn't that job, if it wasn't that gig, if it wasn't that relationship, that doesn't keep me from producing, because I have a responsibility to keep producing until I see what God said. I'm not producing because everything went the right way. I'm not producing because everything worked out in my favor. I am producing because God said that I'm going to breathe on your seed. That's why I'm still in this city. That's why I'm still in this room. Because God said I'm going to breathe on your seed. I'm going to breathe on your seed. Which means that Eve had to come to a place in her mind where she wasn't worried about the outcome. She was just worried about producing. I'm just going to focus on producing right now. I'm just going to focus on producing. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to take. I don't know if everyone's going to listen to it. I don't know if I'm going to blow up. But I do know that I've got a mandate to produce. I'm going to keep producing. I'm going to keep producing. And I hear God saying that sometimes he needs to create a rhythm of producing so that you don't produce and take off and there's nothing left in you. Because if you get a rhythm of producing, then you'll never stop producing. Thank you. But Eve knows what she really has to do in this moment. It's just that what God said in mind. I don't have to see the end. I don't have to see the outcome. I just have to set it in motion. What if God has just called you to set it in motion? This thing hit me down in my spirit. Because I don't know if you're like me, but I have these moments where the enemy can start haunting me and taunting me about the things I haven't seen. But when I got this revelation, I got something to say back to the enemy. And I got to tell the enemy, I may not be at the end yet, but what I do know for sure is that I set it in motion. That no, we may not be out of the hole yet, but because I made that decision, I set something in motion. In motion that my great grandkids are going to be living over. I set righteousness in motion. I set wholeness in motion. I didn't say that I'd never seen the right way. I know for sure that I set something in motion. Could I change the way we deal with money in my family? Could I set it in motion? All I got to do is set it in motion because God said it. If you set it in motion, I'll finish what you start. If you started, I'll finish it. Even though that you never got who will finish. I heard God saying that you got to give yourself permission start where you are. And that's what Eve did. She started where she was. And what Eve sets in motion in Genesis. This woman in Revelation, she's going to finish it. For those of you who are theologians, you know, yes, there are so many theologians here. Revelation 12 is actually an analogy about the church. I was reading this, though, and I took it quite literally about a woman who's had to hide after being persecuted. If you read the whole chapter, it's really going to bless you, because when this woman starts off, she's pregnant. And she's pregnant, and pregnancy gives you purpose. Pregnancy gives you vision. Pregnancy allows you to start thinking about a vision. And then all of a sudden, she gets pregnant, and a dragon appears. And when this dragon appears, she pushes anyway. And at Woman Evolve, I preached this message. It's actually on YouTube. It's called Wild Woman. And I talked about how she pushed it anyway. And when she pushed it, God pulled it up. That sometimes what we got to know is that if we push it, God will pull it up. So she pushes out her seed. She produces the seed. She pushes out the seed. God pulls up her seed. And then God says that this woman runs off to this place in the wilderness where he prepared a place for her. But when we find her in this text, she's not in that place that God prepared for her. The place that's supposed to nourish her. You would never believe it, but there are some women in this room who aren't in that place that God prepared for them. This place is important because this is not just this temporary shelter. God gave her this positioning. It was supposed to nourish her. That word nourish means to literally feed her. The Greek word here, it actually translated means stiffen. It's supposed to stiffen her. It's supposed to give her strength so she's not tossed to and fro anymore. That place that God positions you in, it makes you stand flat-footed and declare the work of the Lord. That place makes you not afraid to walk into any room. You don't need anything from anyone because you came to give something. You're not made or break or broken by what people say about you, because I'm sitting in a place that God has prepared for me. But what happens when you're not in that place anymore? Okay. I think that the woman lost her place because she didn't have her seed anymore. And when you don't think you have seed, you don't think there's any reason for you to stay in this position of faith. Because everything that I thought was going to give me purpose and value was now gone. So now I don't really do what I used to do anymore, because I'm not so sure I have anything down on the inside of me. But the dragon gives us an indication of what the woman really is. Sometimes your greatest, greatest blessing is your enemy. Because your enemy tells you who you are. Because when I started studying this and I saw that the dragon was persecuting the woman, I thought to myself, why is the dragon persecuting the woman if the woman doesn't have seed? The child is gone. Why is he persecuting the woman? And in my studying, God told me it's because the woman is soil. And what the enemy knows about the woman that the woman doesn't know is that if God throws another seed at her, that she can produce something again that has the power to crush the head of the enemy. I don't know who you are, but you've been feeling burnt out. You've been feeling like all of your creativity is running out, that you don't have vision anymore, that you don't have purpose anymore. And I came here to tell you that you are soil, that there is nothing that God is going to do in your life that is behind you, that everything that he wants to do is ahead of you. And the moment that you recognize that you are soil, you will stop letting any old thing live down on the inside of you, because when you're soil, anything that brings to you will always become more of what it already is. And I hear God say there are some mindsets and some paradigms.
sowing seed. I'm sowing vision. I'm sowing creativity. I'm sowing opportunities. I hear God saying it's going to come from an unexpected place. I hear God saying that you're going to be looking for it in one way, and that thing is going to hit you in a place you would have never expected, because God keeps telling about to a story that you don't see. That's why it happens. That's why it couldn't last. But you were going to let the wrong thing break down on the inside of you. God, if you're somebody in this room, you're worried about one thing. I hear God saying, start with yourself.
I believe
She's got a place she doesn't believe in receiving anymore. This woman, she makes one decision. God brings it back to her remembrance. Go back to the place where I promised to nourish you. Go back to being that woman who could stay in position. So the woman starts moving in that direction. She starts moving in that direction because now the dragon is chasing me. There's some women in this room, and it feels like dragons have been chasing them. Feels like every time I turn around, there's something new. And yes, there's a place that will protect you. I used to be angry with God. I said, God, you pull out her feet. Why don't you move her up? God, if you knew the dragon was going to come down and persecute this woman, why don't you pull her up and wait until she pulled up her feet? And God, I didn't have to pull her up there. I didn't have to rescue her. Because I was protected. The worst case scenario. Instead of rushing with her, I created a place for her. And she needs in that place. And everyone she brought up is in that place. And everyone she brought up is in that place. You were waiting on me, I was waiting on you. I was waiting on you to get a break, and you were waiting on me to get a break. Because God said, together, they get a break, the dragon will back up on me. That changes the way we see women of faith. So she goes back to that place. She's got to make a decision to sit there. Some of you are going to have to make a decision to sit in that place. I wanted to title this message, Sit Down. Because sometimes we're so busy running, looking for next. We know how to fight. We know how to stand up to things. But sometimes we don't know how to just sit down. And I hear God saying that your strength is not going to come from running this time. Your strength is going to come from sitting down. Because when you sit down, I'm going to nourish you. When you sit down, I'm going to stiffen you. I heard God saying as I was praying that God has watched you work long enough. Now it's time for you to watch him work. It's time for you to watch him work. So the woman, she starts moving. I'm landing the plane. The woman, she starts moving. Back to that place. And there's two things I want to tell you that happened. The woman starts moving back to that place. And when she makes a decision to start moving back to that place of nourishment, when she believes that there is something down on the inside of her worth protecting, and so she starts making decisions that are a reflection of what she believes about herself, God says, I can work with. And in verse 14, it says that the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place. So God gives the woman wings so that she can get back to her place. She would have gone by foot if she had to. Oof. That's how desperate you gotta be. That no matter how far along you are or far away you are, that you'll go by foot if you have to. And her willing to go by foot says to God that she's serious about this thing. So he gives her wings to get to her place faster than she would have gotten there had she had to do it on her own. That's what happens when we partner with God, that we get to places faster than we would have ever been there had we had to do it on our own.
And it continued, it says, the woman was given two wings of great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. Now, you'll remember in verse 13, it started off the dragon. And now in verse 14, it ends up a serpent. Now, I was asked God what happened between verse 13 and the end of verse 14, besides the woman getting to her place, that shrunk this dragon into a serpent. And the only thing I could see is that in that same exchange that the woman received wings. And it was almost as if God took the wings of the dragon that was chasing the woman and put them on the backside of the woman and said, for instance, that everything the devil meant for evil, I'm going to use it for good. That's somebody's word, because that means the very thing that is chasing you right now, the very thing that is disqualifying you right now, is going to be the very thing that God uses to accelerate you. I mean, God brought those wings on your back, that you're going to see every enemy that was once a dragon as nothing but a serpent. I'm going to be flying over the very things that the devil wants me for evil. I feel like that somebody's word in this room tonight, because somebody is going to wait and to see why the enemy tracking me down. And I hear God say that that depression won't get off of you, and that anxiety won't get off of you, because it's carrying your wings. And when you realize that it's carrying your wings, you'll start looking at things face off, because you recognize that you're coming for me. But what you're really carrying is my next dimension of breakthrough. Somebody's going to start a ministry based off of the very thing that was holding them back. Somebody's going to save their mother because of the very thing that was holding you back. Mama, you may have not been able to fight that devil, but that devil gave me wings. I'm waiting on my 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 wings. My daughter's 10 years old. She's been acting crazy. I've been worshiping all day because I've been telling my husband, I can't wait till we see her pick out the ring, declaring the word of the Lord. Your wings are coming, your wings are coming. Your wings are coming, your wings are coming. Your wings are coming, your wings are coming. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to your depression. Your wings are coming, your wings are coming. The wings are coming, the wings are coming, the wings are coming. This lady's not out. I'm not going to get started. This lady's not out unless it's finished. Because when we leave this place, the ladies are going out. And they're going out with wings that ain't coming yet. Somebody came in crawling. God, he gives the woman wings. And the enemy spews out water out of his mouth. He thinks, I'm going to drown the woman. But my text says that the earth opened its mouth and consumed the flood. This is important because the woman is in her place, but it didn't keep the enemy from trying to attack her. But this is what I mean by staying in that place where God nourishes you and sitting there so that you can watch God work. Because my Bible says that the earth is the Lord's. So when the enemy thought he was going to use the earth against the woman, God didn't want to bring that to. And the earth opened its mouth and it consumed the flood. What does that mean? That means the earth is going to be working on your behalf. That means that God says that no But if we're going to tap into our divinity, if we're going to be Mary, we got to be able to carry what God is doing. Which means we got to be able to have clean hands and pure hearts. And at this altar, I believe that God wants to clean your hands. And purify your heart. I want to throw my hands up. Because these hands been doing some things that don't really look like you. These hands been building some things that you can't get the glory out of. I'm throwing my hands in. I'm throwing my hands in. I don't want to build anything unless it looks like you. I don't want to touch anything unless it looks like you. Father, help me to stop touching things that make my hands dirty. God, help me to stop touching things that make me think less of myself. Father, I'm turning my hands in. God, you tell me when to move. You tell me what to touch. God, clean my hands. Yes, Father, I want to offer up my heart to you. Yes, Father, my heart has gotten dirty. My heart has gotten bitter. Father, how could you let that thing happen to me? How could you allow me to be on the back burner for this long? My heart got dirty. I don't trust you anymore. I don't believe like I used to believe. I know all the songs. I know all the scriptures, but I just can't believe that you took my mother from me. I just can't believe that disease is in my body. My heart is a little dirty towards you, but tonight I'm making a decision. I'm offering up my heart to you, too, God. I want to have a pure heart when it comes to you. I want to trust you in spite of what I see. I want to believe that you still see the best in me. I want to believe that you are planning to prosper me and not to harm me, even if I'm honest with some poison in my heart. Doesn't believe that it's true anymore. The only thing about the poison in my heart, though, is that it's killing me. That poison is taking my joy. That poison is taking my faith. I don't believe like I used to. I'm isolated. I don't trust people. That poison is trying to take me out. And so, Father, in this holy atmosphere, we came to this altar so that we could sit down. Father, we're tired of running, letting comparison tell us who we need to be and how we should act. Father, we're tired of doing what our fear tells us to do, what our culture tells us to do, Father, and we're losing ourselves in the process, so we are running to you so that we can finally, Father, sit down. Father, it is my prayer. Wherever there is a woman with her hands or heart lifted, that you would meet her, not when the service is over, but that you would meet her right now. Oh, Father, we make room for you. Father, we make room for you. Some of us only have an inch a year, Father, that's all we got, but we make room for you. Some of us haven't opened up in a long time, but we make room for you. We make room for you. We make room for you. Father, get into the cracks and the crevices, Father. That wall isn't too strong that you can't knock it down. Those excuses aren't too strong that you can't invade them. Father, make room, make room, make room for you in their lives. Father, these women have experienced so many things, so many pains they've carried in their hearts. And we're finally turning them over to you. What does that look like? That means, Father, we trust that you are going to show us how even these pains can work together for our good. Father, we trust that because you have always been faithful, that you will continue to be faithful. We place our trust back in you. And Father, we ask that you would forgive us for being angry with you. It is evident because of the word that you send that you see us and that you know us.
know us, then you know exactly what this moment in our life is supposed to produce. And so we're not going to ask you to rush past this season or to make everything okay. We're simply going to ask that you would sit with us, that you would nourish these loving Father, that they would come to know you and themselves in a fresh new way. And Father, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God, we know that you will raise up a standard. Father, they are that standard. And so we ask that you would take this word and that you would seal it in our hearts. I reduce the spirit of second guessing. I reduce the spirit of depression. I reduce the spirit of anxiety. I reduce the spirit of control. I reduce the spirit of worry. I reduce it right now in the name of Jesus. I speak Jesus over your life. I speak victory over your life. Over the one who defeated death itself. I reduce the spirit of death in this place. Your dream is not there. Your purpose is not there. Your action is not there. And you are alive. God said that the man is still on. So I speak
so that the women could come together. And I just want to ask that we would show our appreciation by at least sewing back into this moment. I'm not going to preach a message about giving. I just want to say gratitude that God created this environment and this atmosphere for us. So whatever the Edison sends us for turning the lights on and having the air conditioning running, I want to make sure that this doesn't cost the ministry to bless me. Because at the end of the day, I didn't just come to receive, I came to give to. I'm not going to make a big fancy thing about it. I'm just going to ask, I think maybe they've got directions on the screen. Please give just something on your level. If you're like me and you believe in sowing, then you give according to what that word meant to you. There are some words that God spoke in this atmosphere about setting things in motion. Maybe that was your word, getting back in position. Whatever that word means to you in your own level, just sow into it. And it's going to be our way of saying that Woman Evolve Los Angeles, which I think we're going to have chapters. I would love to start a Woman Evolve chapter here in LA. That Woman Evolved Los Angeles appreciates the environment that was created for them to be transformed. And most importantly, when I ask to do this again, I want PT to know that my girls, we hold it down. We can hold our own, okay? You can turn the lights on. We can cover that. All right, we got it. All right. Just kidding. That was Eve. Just blame it on Eve. Just help me sew into this moment, please. Our worship team is going to come up. We're going to worship. And we're going to give, and we're going to go home and let this word marinate and change the atmosphere of our homes. So I'm going to just pray a blessing, Father, over every woman who's giving according to what she received. Father, I ask that you would multiply that seed in her life. Whether she's giving by text or cash, whatever it is, Father, you know the sacrifice connected to her seed. Somebody's giving something, they don't really have it to give. But Father, because you have given us everything in this moment, we want to show you that we can match your effort. So Father, we're sowing into this word. Allow it to not just be a moment, but allow it to bless our families for generation after generation. That every woman, I feel this for you, for every woman connected to us, we receive this word tonight. Even the women who couldn't be in this room. May we all leave and have the spirit of Woman Evolve all over us, that we would never settle for where we are or where we used to be, but that we would always, always keep pressing and pressing to discover what it is you placed inside of us. Receive our gift, our tithe, our offering. In Jesus' name. And I love you, LA.